Yeah, I just want to mention something. That, you know, today now there's big, whole big controversy going on with the Pshuto Kama Shmoa Shel Psukim or Pshuto Kama Shmoa Shel Chazal. So I just wanted to show the derech of Chazal themselves with regard to this problem. Because you have it right in Chazal. It's a Rashi in Yisrael. Okay? I'm going to mention something. So the Pasuk says that Vahimi Machras and Sheni in Yisrael. Vahimi Machras, Vayeshev, Moshe, Lishpot, Asam. So it says, Vayamod, Amal, Moshe, and Aboker, Ador. Okay. So they were standing in Din before Moshe Rabbeinu, asking him Shalas, Dinei Torah, and Aboker, Ador, from morning to evening. So the next Pasuk says, Vayarchosain. Okay, so then Yisro said that you won't be successful that way. Okay, that's the rest of the parsha. But interesting is Rashi, quotes a Chazal, Min HaBoker Ad Arav, that they stood demands on Moshe Min HaBoker Ad Arav, so Rashi says, Efshalom HaKain, Gemara says in Shabbos, Efshalom HaKain, is it possible to say such a thing? Ela kol dayin shedon din emes lamito. Afilu shoachas ma'alav v'kosev kilo osik v'tara kol yom. Yeah. So the memory of the Gemara is, and the Gemara says that how is it possible to say that this is literal, this pasuk? Because Torah so mataela. What's going to happen to Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah? He's going to stand all day long, possibly in shadows, listening to din Torah. What's going to happen to his Torah? The Gemara says, no, it doesn't mean literally. What it means is that a person that's don din emes lamito afilu shor achas, so he's not says shutif lakadosh baruch hu maisa bracious. So it wasn't really vayamar amar Moshe min HaBoker Ad Arav. It wasn't a whole day affair. Okay, why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu would lose his Torah. Exactly when he's going to learn himself. So you must say it means. It says, the Gemara says, over here it says an equation, the Gemara says. Over here it says that Min HaBoker Ad Arav, and over there it says Vayer Vayvoker. So, therefore, you see, yeah. Yeah, the Gemara says, Shabbos Taf Yidam Anahof. Vayam Anam HaMoshe Min HaBoker Ad Arav, Chisal Adait Chosho Moshe Yoshe V'Gon Kol Yom Kulo. To Russell Masanasis, when is he going to learn himself? Okay? So, this is not just a Chazal, but this is an amazing Yisodan Chazal. Because anyone would say that that pasuk should be interpreted literally for many reasons. Okay? First of all, what's wrong with Moshe Rabbeinu? He's still involved in Torah all day. And even a whole day, Min HaBoker Ad Arav, so he has nighttime, he has a whole night. So what's wrong with, nobody would really find fault with the pasuk. Everybody would say, no, on the contrary, this is Moshe Rabbeinu's job. Okay? But Chazal had a yesod that the person that's really a person of Torah is Oseg B'Torah Yom V'Laila. And a whole day he can't give up. Can't give up a whole day. Even for the Yom. So Moshe Rabbeinu is the Adon HaNeviim, the highest level, it can't be that he gave up his Torah. Not possible. So Vayamod, that's just the Moshe Rabbeinu didn't need Yisrael to tell him anything. That he simply wouldn't give up because that's a part of his essence, you see. So therefore Chazal say, no, it doesn't mean Vayamod al-Bagar, Moshe al-Bagar. But literally, it doesn't mean literally that they were there all day. It's Min HaBoker Ad Arav is to tell you that it's as if he's a shutta from Maisa Bereshis. Min HaBoker Ad Arav. It's a reference. Min HaBoker Ad Arav means it's as if he's involved in Vayera Vayvoker. He's a shutta with a Kodesh Baruch Hu Maisa Bereshis. So you see from Chazal an amazing thing. And that is that we don't just take Sukkim. We're not We don't just take psukim literally. But what precedes the interpretation of the pasuk is the chokhmah that we have from Teresh Baal Peh. And that's really a pasuk. Because the pasuk says, Ksav l'chos advar ma'ela, ki al pi advar ma'ela, karati yitcha bris v'es Yisrael. So the ones wondering, ki al pi advar ma'ela, karati yitcha bris v'es Yisrael, because the krisas bris is only through, the krisas bris is only through Teresh Baal Peh. Teresh Baal Peh is the essence of the krisas bris. It's the essence of Kala Tara Kula. So the Shami says that there's Teresh Baal Chsav and Teresh Baal Peh. Which one is more chaviv? The Shami says, from this pasuk, so the essence of the yisod of our amunah, of our system, is rooted in Teresh Baal Peh. And Teresh Baal Peh is Chachma. That is Teresh Baal Peh, the methodology of Chachma. And therefore, the ideas that we have from Teresh Baal Peh, which is the Derech HaTorah, and which is the way of perfection, precedes the pasuk. So Chazal did not take this pasuk, literally. It has nothing to do with science. It has to do with the idea that we approach the Torah primarily with our system of Teresh Baal Peh. That's primary. And once we have that system, so then we interpret. Interpretation, but what precedes the psukim is the derech of Teresh Baal Peh. So if it's impossible, according to our understanding and our knowledge, and Chachma Satarv and Teresh Baal Peh, and Moshe Rabbeinu is going to give up his life, and he's not going to be running all day, that's not possible, so the pasuk has to be interpreted. Has to be interpreted differently. Has to be interpreted as a b'derech drasha. That's what you see from Chazal himself, yes.
According to that interpretation, what was
bothered? Moshe Rabbeinu apparently, he's asking, so what was Yisrael saying that he couldn't do it? He's saying he couldn't do it was not because Menach Barkat Arav, because he's going to get exhausted. Was because he wouldn't be able to supply their need in terms of functionally. So less time would make it even more difficult. Less time is even more difficult. But apparently Moshe Rabbeinu's concept was that it had to be through he himself. It had to be through him. And a system of a hierarchy did not do. That's why Yisrael told him, save a hamlech b'zvua. After he gave him his etzah, I mean, of course, the etzah, Moshe Rabbeinu could have thought of the same etzah. But it wasn't a matter of the etzah, there was something deeper going on there. And that was whether Moshe Rabbeinu could allocate the shilas to others and appoint others, or did he have to handle everything himself? That was the question. And behind that question is a deeper question that we'll get to. I mean, we'll get to. Because you see, it wasn't a simple thing. Because he says, Shema b'koli yatscha v'hi elokim imach. So Rashi says, say hamlech b'gvura. Okay? So, ima sadova zatase v'tzivcho elokim v'yachol to amod. V'gam kolom azel makam yavo v'shom. So it must be v'tzivcho elokim. But without v'tzivcho elokim, apparently, Yisrael's Eitzel was not... Yisrael's Eitzel was... The chachma of Yisrael was that he saw a Pesach to be Shoel. It wasn't the idea. What's the idea? So anybody can figure out that you have to have a system. I mean, delegation of authority. So the whole world knows delegation of authority. I mean, you can have one person. But over here was a deeper problem over here, which we'll get into it a little later. But basically, that was the thing. Moshe Rabbeinu thought it had to be through he himself. And he couldn't delegate anybody. Why he thought that way, we have to understand. But Yisrael said, no, it can't be that this is God's will. You must be Shoel. And you must be, this is a place for you to be Shoel. So the idea of She'elah is really implicit in Tzivui Hashem. It's not a matter of that you're asking for a practical reason. I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give you more than you need. And what he gives you, you are obligated to analyze and to question. And if you don't do it, so then you fail. Not simply, Tzivui Hashem is not a simple thing. You do what Hashem tells you. That's not what it is, really. It's more than that. The Tzivui Hashem is really something that God gives you which is an opportunity for your mind to evaluate logically and look into it. And sometimes it presents a dilemma and a difficulty. And then you have to be sure. But that's the way, that's the nature of the Tzibur Hashem. It's not like people think, Tzibur Hashem is, Hashem told you, do it, that's it. That's a false idea. The Tzibur Hashem, the Dvar Hashem, is something which is a nucleus from which a person can draw knowledge and chachmah. And he has to analyze it. And if a person just accepts something and fails to analyze it, so, I mean, he's really not receiving the Dvar Hashem. Not receiving the Dvar Hashem. So Yisro's chachmah over here was, the Dvar Hashem over here is not simply to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to think this over and to look into it and to ask for something over here. There's some difficulty here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to discover. You have to discover the difficulty. And that's what Yisro showed. That there is an intrinsic difficulty here in this system. And what you are supposed to do is analyze the system and think of the problem and say how much b'shchina, say how much b'gvura. That's what the tzivui is. Many times the tzivui is not to simply, see, tzivui, as I said before, the concept of the tzivui is an idea which the individual has to take into his mind and analyze it and determine. Sometimes it's a matter of executing an action, but it's always a matter of thinking into it and understanding it. And sometimes the objective is to find the dilemma, to find the difficulty, and to be sure of, And sometimes just the dilemma itself is a conclusion. I mean, that itself is Ratzon Hashem. A person comes to a Teiku and a Bayin and a Gemara, that's it. He thought of both sides. He thought into it. That's the Kiyum. So in our system, it's a different concept of Tzivui Hashem, not a concept of just do what God tells you. That's not Torah. Yes?
So wasn't the practical thing that was just the idea of the fact that Moshe shouldn't have to be the one that solved?
That's correct.
It wasn't just the practical that he couldn't answer the question.
He analyzed the situation and he said that it must be over here that you have to ask a question over here. This is, God didn't give you all the information because it's His will that you use your mind to analyze the situation and to ask this question. Okay?
It didn't work that way by Har
Sinai. There's an Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra says by the Tzfadim. So it says that after the Tzfadim, says, Vigra Fala Moshe La'am Atiru Al Hashem. The Yosef Atzvadim Imenu Me'ami. Vashal Chlasom V'yizbuchu Lad Hashem. So the Yom Moshe Lefar is for our life. V'mosai Ati L'chov Alav Adecha L'amecha L'achris Atzvadim Mimcha Mi'batecha. Rak Bayam Tishana. Tell me when. Okay? You state your time. V'yom Alamacha. So Paro was willing to suffer another day to see if Moshe Rabbeinu could stop the Atzvadim when he set the time. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Vayomer kidvarcha, l'man teda ki ein kadosh elokeinu." What do you say? So then the pasuk says later. Next one, the sorah tzvadim mukhma decha ve'etzem Moshe Rabbeinu parvitzem Moshe l'Hashem al dvar tzvadim asher son l'faro. So the Ibn Ezra says, "Ve'etzem Moshe Rabbeinu paro ve'etzem Moshe l'Hashem al dvar tzvadim asher son l'faro." So he says, "Vayetze." On the part of the day, it says, "Tam vayitzak ki botach b'shem shelo yivayshu, shelo yivayshu ki omar al paro me'atzmo ki dvor choliyah below rishas Hashem." So apparently, the Moshe Rabbeinu took on a lot in being the one that accepted the mission of being Motzi B'nai Yisrael in Mitzrayim, because he did things that were based upon his metaphysical knowledge. He had to make decisions based on his own metaphysical knowledge. That was his own thing. That he said, when? So, why? Because he had enough metaphysical knowledge to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will answer his tefillah. Generally, so we say you can't say such a thing. Person not allowed to say that. Person not allowed to think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to answer my tefillah. Shemaya tefillah. But answer the tefillah, that we have no knowledge of at all. And it's not just that we have no knowledge of it, but we know that any inkling or sense that we have a knowledge is absolutely wrong. So it's a, we know, it's not that we lack the knowledge, but we know that such a knowledge is not possible. Because Ayodhya Hashem gives us that conclusion. So, but you see over here, Moshe Rabbeinu had to make an evaluation. And based upon his metaphysical knowledge, he had to do something before Paro that was not a Tzivri Hashem. That was not a Tzivri Hashem. Like the Benezer, like Yitzhak, Ki batach b'Hashem shelo yivayshel. Ki yamar pa'am ha'atzma, ki dorach ha'giya. Belo rishas Hashem. So the undertaking of Yitzias Mitzrayim was a unique kind of an undertaking. I mean, it was based on the knowledge of the people. That's why you have a pasuk here. It's one pasuk that's a parsha over here where it says a pasuk before where it says this pasuk over here says. What does it mean? What's Vayitzavim? Okay, so someone says it's going on Rashi's first chapter, it's going on later, but it's a strange pasuk. I mean, the pasuk is a partial of the man, it doesn't seem to add anything. So he says, Rashi says, Siva Leim Lahan Higain Benachas. The Lisbol also. By Yitzavim al B'nai Yisrael means that there's mitzvah for them to tolerate B'nai Yisrael. How to tolerate B'nai Yisrael. Ve'el paro malach Mitzrayim, tzivim olav lachlok lo kovod b'divrayim. Lachlok lo kovod b'divrayim. So it means that how he went to paro wasn't just went to paro brazenly. I mean, and said, this is the Tzar Hashem, you listen or you don't listen. No, it was Lachlo covered Lamelach, that he had to be involved in diplomacy, in the art of diplomacy. So you see that when you look into the psukim and into the Torah Shebal Peh, the psukim, so you get a whole different view. I mean, so Moshe Rabbeinu, really what he undertook, the undertaking wasn't simply to go and do performances and take Klal Yisrael out. It was an undertaking where he had to think into Klal Yisrael themselves, how much they could be soveil, and how to deal with them, and because the people are stressed out, and he was dealing with a nation that was under a very, very special psychological situation, so he had to study and have knowledge of that situation, make determinations based upon that, go to Paro Melech Mitzrayim and consider giving him an opportunity to exercise his Bechira, and to give Kavod L'Malchus, and to treat him in a way which would be most appropriate and would be most conducive and lend itself to Paro being Chozer B'Tshuva. To Paro, because the Chazak Hashem's late Paro was only, like Rashi was only later Makas. But in the early Makas it was really Bechira. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to present to Paro a situation where he could exercise his Bechira. So that required tremendous thought and knowledge in determining that kind of a performance. But it was really three things, you see. It was knowledge concerning Klal Yisrael, how to deal with the nation under those conditions, the conditions that they were in psychologically, more important than physically, psychologically. Then also, besides that, how to deal with the arrogant Paro, Melech Mitzrayim, and not to try to reach him in spite of his arrogance and his self-deification. But to be able to approach him with kavod and in the proper way, and to use chachma with regard to that. And thirdly, the Ibn Ezra shows, it involved chachma, chachmas Hashem. It involved a different dimension of Chachmas Hashem, which means that he had to use all his Chachma and understanding and knowledge to determine whether this tefillah is going to be answered. I mean, he had to make use of all his Chachma. So taking Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, was not a simple task, a matter of executing certain actions. But it was all based on Chachma. Yeah. So, because back to the idea, and I think that's the Yisod in Kol HaTorah Kula, that our concept of Tzivui Hashem is a different concept than what the world understands. It's not, the world understands Tzivui Hashem means God told you to do it, you do it. That's the key. With us, Tzivui Hashem is a Haskola Sayyam. It's the tzivui is something which demands analysis and understanding and chachma, and we have a system of Tarsha Baal Peh, and the system of Tarsha Baal Peh precedes our understanding of Tarsha Bachsav, and like the well-known Ibn Ezra, that if a mitzvah would see a mitzvah that we see that we can't possibly justify, it doesn't make any sense, so we wouldn't do it. We say, we don't know, it can't be, shooting a mashmal, we wouldn't do it. So the Chochmah of the Torah precedes any kind of acceptance of literal psukim. Chochmah comes first. That's the bris. That's the krisas bris. Al pi advar ma'ila karati for the bris es Yisrael. That's really the krisas bris. Okay, it's a different concept. It's a different concept. But there is with regard to this. Yeah. Okay, that says that the leadership involved Yediyas Hashem. The leadership involved Yediyas Hashem. So, but it involved Yediyah on three levels, basically. Yediyas Hashem, and you deal with regard to Klal Yisrael, how to treat them, and you deal with regard to how to approach Paro. Okay. There's an interesting Ramban. It's an interesting Ramban in Bishalach, which I think opens up a, with regard to this this point of Yisro, of Yediyah, understanding, well, so what was the question by Yisro? I mean, what was really the question over there, that he had to do it himself, and Yisro said, no, this is not so simple. You're supposed to think into it, and into this, you're supposed to be Shol B'Gvura. That's really what you're supposed to do. This requires a Shaila. This requires not a performance. So here he's supposed to be a show. Yeah, he's supposed to be a show. So,
what did Moshe know prior to
that point? Well, why did Moshe Rabbeinu think in Yisro that it must be through him, and only through him? Okay. And Yisro saw something different. Okay. Yeah, if you take a look at the Parsha B'Shalach, it's right in the beginning. Right in the beginning, the second Parsha. Okay. Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor, Dabar b'nei Yisrael v'yashuvi v'yachdu l'fnei pi achiros b'nei migdol v'nei yom v'nei baal tzfon nichva sachno l'yom. Okay. V'omar paro l'fnei Yisrael nevuchim eim ba'oretz. Okay. Sogar l'yam ha-midbar. Sogar l'yam ha-midbar. Okay, so therefore he told them that they should return. The Jews, first they left, they went away, and then they said, return. And Paro will say that the Jews are confused, they're coming back, they don't know where they're going. So, yeah. So then it says, when that happened, so it says, Vayir from Mitzrayim Achrayim, Vayisiga Samchanam Aliyam, Yifaro Hikiv, Vayisiv Nei Yisrael Asenayim, Vinei Mitzrayim Nasei Achrayim. So when they saw, when it happened later, Pasuk Yud, when it happened, Vinei Mitzrayim Nasei Achrayim, Vayir Mod, Vayisiv Nei Yisrael El Ad Hashem. Okay. But then you have a funny Pasuk. It says, the two Pasukim, Vayomu O Moshe, Hamagiyin Kfarim B'Mitzrayim, Lekachtan Olamos Mamidbar, Mazos Asis Olano, Vayisiv Nei Mitzrayim. Okay. Hello, Zad Dover Shadibana Lech Mitzrayim Lemo. Chadal Mimeno, Vinav Dos Mitzrayim. Leave us alone. Let us stay above him. Kitovron avodas Hashem yimusein ba midbar. Okay, the argument wasn't just a silly argument. I mean, you understand that going to the midbar was death, according to natural law. There's no way to escape. You cannot support hundreds of thousands of people in the desert. So their taina of chadal mimenu v'navdas mitzrayim ki tov lano avodas Hashem yimusein ba midbar wasn't just an idle point. I mean, they were great chachamim, and they knew that in reality this doesn't make any sense. I mean, on the contrary, this was against what Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching them, mitzvahs and chachma, and you have to always use chachmas Hashem. And now you say you just go out in the midbar, I mean, which according to all reason you cannot survive.
They didn't make that complaint.
Yep.
They started being chased.
This is the
imminent death in the
street.
This is interesting.
With him,
because they only made this
up. The complaint was people simply go over the complaint like it's nothing. You know, the complaint is a logical complaint. It's a logical complaint. Alo zed davar shedibana alechem mitzrayim lema. So it wasn't just here; it was in Mitzrayim too. They said it before. They said it in Mitzrayim as well. Alo zed davar shedibana alechem mitzrayim. This wasn't the first time they said it. It wasn't that they got scared and now they made up this silly complaint. I mean, this was something which they said they were saying to Moshe Rabbeinu all along in Mitzrayim. Okay? But it was a rational complaint. Very rational. I mean, you can't be more rational. Because it's impossible to survive. So it's a totally nonsensical plan. So isn't it better to be alive, I mean, than to go and destroy yourself? It's a suicidal plan. That's basically what they said. Okay? So that's these two psukim, Pasuk Yud Aleph and Pasuk Yud Beis. Okay? The question is, on these two psukim, the question is, what are they doing here? Okay? So it says, if far hikra v'yisra v'yisra and the name of Yisra'el nosechara. So what were they facing? They were facing imminent death and destruction at the hands of the Mitzri. V'yirim ha'ol, v'yitzik v'yisra 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 v'yisra. This possibly makes sense. So the mispal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mispal, tz'orka, tfilo, whatever you want to say. But that makes sense. So, but now, what are they saying now? Well, this is not the right complaint over here. In other words, a complaint, even if it's wrong, it has to be in the right place. I mean, but this is not a time to say, I'm a bleeding from Mitzrayim l'kachtonu lomos b'amidbar. Mazos ha-sisulam l'otzionim Mitzrayim. Haloze ha-dovash ha-diban lach Mitzrayim lemar. That's when you have time to sit down and think, and you say, you were wrong, you did something wrong. We shouldn't have done this, and this was a big mistake. That's when you have the luxury of time. You can always complain to somebody that they misled you and they got you in this trouble in the first place. It was all wrong. But when they're facing the Mitzrim, chasing them, by Yidu Faro Hikri Yisuf Nesol Esenei V'Nei Mitzrayim Asecharim by Yirim Oh V'Yisuf Nesol Ad Hashem, that means they're facing imminent disaster. So destruction. So that's not a time to say. I'm the being from Mitzrayim. I mean, well, this is too late now. Now, you have a more serious problem. Now, you don't have a problem of surviving in the desert. You have a problem of surviving in the next few minutes or hours. Okay? So these psukim are strangely out of place. Strangely out of place. Difficult psukim. I mean, it's not the place for this type of a complaint. So the Ramban sensed it. Ramban picks up the problem.
Die in the midbar means because of the midbar.
I mean, from the midbar, you could die anyways because of the midrash. I mean, you have to pick the midbar. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's why it says kitov one of us. I mean, saying the midbar because the death in the midbar was only. I mean, that was really that's the pasuk that zechat lachesed nirayach avas kolzech lechtech acharei b'midbar b'aretz lo zerua. It's easy to just for us to read the pasuk. But the pasuk means that they went against all natural law. I mean, natural law says you're going to die. And because of the haftocha of the Ashgachas Hashem and the Amun and Ashgachas Hashem, I mean, Ashgachas Hashem was the greater reality, greater than the natural law. I mean, that's really the whole idea of this Mitzrayim, was to demonstrate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behind the natural law, and only he's behind the natural law. And Yichud Hashem, and Nishmayayin and the Kolatarakula, I mean. But this was the practical, expression of the whole system of Amuna that they gained through the Makos in Mitzrayim, Laman Ravos Mosai Beres Mitzrayim, the practical expression of the whole limud of the Makos. And the Makos was a limud. Every one of the Makos was a different limud. But the basic underlying limud was that God is behind nature. So that limud was really expressed factually, practically, in the fact that they went into the Midbar. That was the proof that I mean by Hashem Moshe Avda. I mean, they believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the fourth Moshe Rabbeinu. So, I mean, this was the whole proof of whether or not they really accepted this idea. I mean, it was an enactment of the idea. But the question is, I mean, what was this complaint at this point? I mean, what was this complaint? So now Ramban's very interesting. Ramban says like this. He says, that's what they should have said. Okay? Avo lekachtanu lomos bamidbar. And umimusenu bamidbar. He says like this. Ki teram yiru mochama. Before they saw the war, way back before, lo hayu chafetzim lotzei shalam midbar, pen yamusu sham b'ravu v'tzama. Okay? V'yitachin she'amru lo kein b'tzeisam, v'odam beretz Mitzrayim, k'hasher heisev osam alakim derech ha-midbar yamsuf, o'sham alo metchilo, anu neitze, in derech plishtim yulcham abano, yulcham abano, in derech ha-midbar, tov lono lavod es Mitzrayim, in yusein of ha-midbar, that they spoke this out before, previously, and they said that what kind of sense does it make to go out? Where are we going? This derech is going to have the plishtim, you know, we'll die in battle. The other derech is going to die in the desert. V'ef she'od loma. He says, and you could say further, ki hoyu ha'om ma'minim bar Hashem. They believed in God, u'mispalim elav la'atzilem. And they were mispalim that God should save them. Aval b'moshe. But with regard to Moshe Rabbeinu, nichna sofek b'libam. There they were a little doubtful. Ten yotzi'im limshol aleihem. Maybe he has some ulterior motive for himself, some egoistic drive. He wants to rule over them. And even though they saw the osos and the mosim, chashu she'osos on b'dera chachma. O she'ashem evi aleim ha'makos b'rish ha'sagayim. Okay? So, the makos you could explain by either some kind of a chachma, which would mean perhaps he knew that these things were going to happen, and he forecast them. I mean, he had some knowledge, some kind of knowledge. I mean, that was always the question. Oh, she Hashem had the lema makas brish sagayim because they were rishonim, so they deserved the makas. Ki ilu chofetz Hashem biyitzi asam, because if God wanted them to go out, lo hayapara rodef achareihem. Lo hayapara rodef achareihem. So that was, in other words, it was a logical deduction. It was a logical deduction. What was the logical deduction? The logical deduction was, it wasn't they didn't believe in God, but the question was with regard to Moshe Rabbeinu and going out into the Midbar. So, yeah. So he says like this, Bunkulas Tirgum Bakan Vayitzaku. And Unkulas translates Vayitzaku Vizoaku. Aso Vizoaku, Zoaka. So Zoaka, he says, Aso in Tarumos. He says, with a complaint. Vayitzaku doesn't mean that they were mispalel, it means they were complaining, okay? He says, Loma shelo ispalu, avaloyu misramim lefonov, al shehotziim mi mitzrayim. He says, not that they were mispalel, but they were like complaining to him because of the fact they took them out of Mitzrayim. Kolashem vayitzak ol paralema loma sasakol avadecha. V'chamoru, you have other examples, vayitzak yitzak asa'om v'nishem gedol alachayim ayuhudim. Misram im aleim b'kol gadol u'tzaka. The note you have that tzaka is used, Ramban shows that not as a tefillah, but as an expression of unhappiness and complaint. U'ben mechilta, and mechilta says tafsu lam umnos avosam. Vayom Ramosha mebliyin from Mitzrayim. Vayom Ramosha mebliyin from Mitzrayim. Me'achna shenosnu sa'or be'isa bohu lahem eitzel Moshe. Once they had the source of Isa, the Gemara uses as an expression of the Yetzer Hara. Okay, The souring of the dough is Soar Shabisa. The Gemara uses as an expression of an idea of the Yetzer Hara, which is interesting in itself. But the Ramban says, Soar Shabisa, who are Yetzer Hara? Voya Daitam Loma. And what Chazal means like this, Kimitzchila Tzarku El Hashem Lasseis Belev Para Lashav. First they cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that here's the language too. Tzarku El Hashem Lasseis Belev Para Lashav Achrayim. That God should make Paro turn back. The Kasher Rosh Eloah Yechoz, when they saw that he's not going back, Avaloy Nosei of a Kar Valayim. But now he's traveling towards them. Oz Amru Lo Niskabla Tila Seinu. Hazan Tavri Nistila. So then they said, we see that Tila was not Niskabla. The Nichnas B'libam Machshava Ra. And then in their hearts came a bad idea. Lahaher Achare Moshe Kasher B'Tila. So Ramban shows the Chazal already discussed this problem. What's the connection between these two psukim? That by you, Mo, by Yitzchok, b'nei Yisrael, Hashem. And what's the next two? By Yom Hashem, Amid b'nei Yisrael, what's it got to do with this? So Chazal say that Tofsu Umnos Avosam. It means that they followed the Yetzer Hara. Okay? They followed the Yetzer Hara. And what is this Yetzer Hara? The Yetzer Hara is that first they were in the Spowl, they thought the food was in the Scabble. Wasn't it? It's not in the Scabble. So now the Soar Shabbisa caused them to be Lahar Achre Moshe, Hashem Atchila. To be Mahar after Moshe Rabbeinu, just like before. Okay, all right. Yeah. But there's something very interesting here in this Ramban. There's something very interesting in this Chazal Ramban. I mean, beneath the surface, that I think explains something. It explains something that you find ongoing in the Torah. It explains a difficult thing. And also the Yisra question. You see, the thing is like this. The thing is that when they were in a situation that the Mitzrayim were standing ready to destroy them, okay? So a rational person who even complains and is unhappy about the situation and thinks it's a mistake, but a rational person does not at that moment go back over what happened and express an anger and an animosity and a complaint against Moshe Rabbeinu, because it's too late now. That's it. You see, it's too late. So the whole expression of Hamidli in Kivar Mitzrayim and Aloze Adova Asher Dibarnu Alecha Mitzrayim Lema, what does that do now? I mean, it's too late now. I made a mistake. Okay, made a mistake, so let's do something now. And if we can't do anything now, so there's nothing to talk about. It's not a time to go over now and say that you see that we were right. Alozea Dova. I said Dibarnu Alecha B'Mitzrayim Lema Chadal Mimer V'Nadash Mitzrayim. I mean, who cares now? I mean, now the Mitzrayim are ready to destroy us, and the mistakes we made in the past, it was nice to argue about it then, but now there's no purpose in it. There's no purpose in it. So here Chazal are saying that they were involved Soar Shabbisa. See, Soar Shabbisa. That Me'achash Nasan Soar Shabbisa Bo Lam Eitzel Moshe Amrlo Alozeh Adov Shadivan Alecha. What does it mean? What is the Soar Shabbisa? See, the Soar Shabbisa over here is that they went back to a state that is not in reality. And that state of not in reality was something that went with them from that point on, all through the years. It's an interesting thing. What was that state? The state was that they were attached to Moshe Rabbeinu in the wrong way. See, in the wrong way. But it's a strange thing because on the one hand, Vayetzavim el b'nei Yisrael, they couldn't be perfected because they were avadim. But on the other hand, the whole Yetzias Mitzrayim was to give them a certain way and level of dealing with this problem. And that was their bechira. Every person has their own bechira. Their bechira was, the path was set for them. But the bechira involved having them, you see, in their unfortunate state, raised up through certain events so that they could deal properly with their problem. It wasn't, they weren't expected to really overcome their problem. They couldn't. God doesn't expect a person to do the impossible. So, but there was a level and a certain point that they should have been able to overcome. But sometimes, even though they failed, like the Rambam maintains by the case of Moshe Rabbeinu by Meir Riva. That even though they failed, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't upset with them because he recognized that they're not on their level. So that was wrong. That Moshe Rabbeinu conveyed the wrong idea at that time. He conveyed the idea to the people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry at them, and it wasn't true. So that's why he was banished, because he didn't think in enough into God's will, and he jumped to a conclusion. So that's around. So the whole Yitzchak was a very delicate balance, a very delicate balance. But part of that delicate balance was an attachment to Moshe Rabbeinu, which was irrational, and it was necessary because they're only human beings. But on the other hand, they were expected because of what the Ashgacha did for them to be able to handle it properly, you see. But over here, you see, what do you see from this? You see, it's like they're related to Moshe Rabbeinu like a child. See, a child has complaints against the parent. And the complaints are not simply because they want to accomplish something. They're complaints because the child wants to express the complaint, you see. And the expression of the complaints itself gives the child satisfaction. You see? Not just that the child's trying to execute something. Not the child's into a great plan. But the child is lodged in a certain frame of mind where the complaining itself is a satisfaction. You see? And that's what happened with Klal Yisrael and Moshe Rabbeinu. That Moshe Rabbeinu became the figure, you see, that certain immature expressions of Klal Yisrael were lodged against him. And this was something that he had to deal with. So this was something he had to deal with. That he was played a certain role. Okay? You see that explains one pasuk in the Torah that's very short. I'm talking about? That's right, exactly. By the Safu title. So, what did Moshe Rabbeinu say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? May ayin li basa l'seis l'chol amazeh. He says, Ki soma ilai sa'eyu b'chekecha, kashe yisa omein es ayonek. Hala adam ha-shem shbat l'avosa. So, what was Moshe Rabbeinu saying? What do you mean ayin li basa? What does it mean? Li basa? What is it? Ki soma ilai sa'eyu b'chekecha, kashe yisa omein es ayonek? What is it? What are you talking about? Okay? But the answer is that Moshe Rabbeinu over there expressed the problem. The problem wasn't so much that they needed basa. That's why Rashi said they had basa. This wasn't so much. It was me'ayin li basa. Because the Klal Yisrael were looking to Moshe Rabbeinu as the figure that supplies them with their needs, you see. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. He said, leading the Am is one thing. That's one very difficult, if not almost impossible, mission. But this is virtually impossible, that I have to function as an omen, as a yonek, that I have to be the one that nurtures Klal Yisrael and supplies an infantile kind of a desire and demand that they're making on me, which is that they can't remove themselves from their infantile state, you see. So that's really what Chazal is saying in these psukim. Chazal is saying in these psukim is that it's true, it's completely irrational and crazy for people that are facing imminent destruction by a powerful army to sit back and say that hello, Zad Dover, isn't this what we told you? Chadamim was completely irrational to go into the Midbar. Well, what are you saying that now? I mean, now it's not a problem of Midbar, it's a problem of Muhammad. But the answer is because they reverted back to the whole infantile state which they were fixed in, and the complaining at Moshe Rabbeinu itself gave them satisfaction. That's what Chazal mean by the Sa'or Shabisa. The Sa'or Shabisa means the souring of the dough, means where the individual is not in reality anymore, but they just go back into their emotions. You see, that is the Yitzhar. That is the Yitzhar. So that's what Chazal said, that this was bad. By Yitzhak, well, it's one complaining, you could be wrong, but if it's within the realm of reason and rationality, so then it's okay. Then it's okay. But if the person abandons reality and goes back into an infantile state where they're just complaining about Moshe Rabbeinu himself, because the act of complaining is giving them satisfaction, because they're making a demand on Moshe Rabbeinu to satisfy a certain emotion, which is not which ultimately he can't satisfy anyways, but even in a temporary way, I mean, a partial way, it's still wrong, you see. So that was really the underlying, these psukim show the underlying nature of the problem, you see, the underlying nature of the problem. And this was something which Moshe Rabbeinu was very well aware of, very, very well aware of. And you see that clearly from his expression by Isavu Taiva. I am Lee Basso. That really is the idea that Moshe Rabbeinu was expressing, because he always knew that. But when it came to a head, he expressed it in the Sabbatah. So this was really the problem. This was really apparently, even though they did wrong, and it was the Yetzer Hara, it was wrong, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu was machal. I mean, he didn't blame them for it, and he wasn't admonish them for it. He says, "No, okay, Hashem Yilachem Lachem, you can't do it. That's it. Just don't do anything." Okay, Hashem Yilachem Lachem, atem tachrishim. But you see that this problem really is expressed in many places in the Torah, not just by Isaiah, but Moshe Rabbeinu mentions openly. But you see it going straight through. You see by the ego, for instance. What do they say by the ego? That was the first thing. Kizem Moshe Ish, Zerish Moshe, Asher Halon Yitzrayim, Lo Yadana Mahoyola. So it was a dependency on the figure of Moshe Rabbeinu, you see. And what about by Melchemes Amalek? Melchemes Amalek is the amazing thing. What is it? It says that Moshe Rabbeinu had to hold his hands up. I mean, what does Chazal say? The Chiyadav Shal Moshe Osu Mochama. No, his hands are going to win the battle? No, but when they saw Moshe Rabbeinu Kapov Prusos Hashemayim, so Meshabdim Liba Melavim Sheba Hashemayim. So you see, but they had to see it in the figure of Moshe Rabbeinu. They were, and if his hands went down, so then they lost their straight way of thinking, and they deviated from the course. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu had to have somebody his hands, and sometimes from the other is echad that hold his hands over the other of a bar shamash. So you see how dependent they were on Moshe Rabbeinu, that they had to actually see the shliach tzibor, the omei betfila. And the figure of the Shliach Tzibur being Omer B'Tfilah was necessary every moment in order for them to continue in the battle. That's a certain degree of dependency. But that wasn't considered bad necessarily. I want you to understand that was, there were Avadim, and it was necessary. And it's necessary even for us. I mean, you see, Migdash, it's necessary. That's why the Rambam Shita in Migdash is that the everything in the Migdash is really for us. Like, I mean, everybody else is for us, ultimately, but I mean for us directly. Different than the Ramban. That, for instance, the menorah, he says, what's the menorah? He says the menorah is because seeing a menorah behind the curtain something that, that affects a person in a certain way. And I'll get back to that. Let me get back to this. So you see in the case of Amalek, Machanas Amalek, Vayyad Avimuna Bar Shemesh. And if you take a look carefully in the Shalach, you see, right, what was the first thing that happened after Az Yashir? What was the first thing? What? Yeah. Was what? Mara. So first you had Mara, and then what? Then after Mara, what did you have? What's that? After Mara. Now after Mara was what? After Mara was what? The man. Right, the man. Okay, and the sloth. The man and the sloth. And what happened after that? What happened after that? Yes. The first thing you had was Mara, right? First thing you had was Mara. Then you had the Mon. And then you had Midbasin, Vein Mayim Lishto Son, Vayavam Moshe, Vayam, Thuron Mayim Vanishta. Vayam Moshe, Matarivoni Modi, Matanasan Esarashem. You see? It's always, Moshe Rabbeinu was always trying to wean them from this infantile attachment, you see. I say infantile, but I say it with respect, because I don't mean, I'm just trying to say it, to identify it, so you understand clearly what it is. But it's not infantile in the sense that it's an easy thing to overcome, but it has an infantile root, psychologically. You see. So constantly, you see, for instance, take Mara, okay? In Mara was, Vayilono Amal Moshe Lamar, Amoshe Lamar. Take a look at the, by the month. Vayilono Kadasar Amoshe Lamar Midbar. Okay? And me thing the same of Yadashem and the same, she's saying, I'll say a bosser, Bachon Lechem Lasova. Kiyotseisim Osama Midbar Zelahamas Kalakal Zebarav. So, and what did Moshe Rabbeinu say? Moshe Rabbeinu said, What do you have to say this for? Why don't you just say they asked for food, okay, and they had nothing to eat. So you see, so fine, that solved the problem. It wasn't necessary to do that. I mean, why is that mixed in there? I mean, all he had to do was to show they're going to get the man, and that shows them that the problem's resolved. So you see clearly that there was something going on here, deeper beneath the surface. And that is that all these events and all these things that took place, there was really one underlying process. And the underlying process was to remove them from that relationship to Moshe Rabbeinu, to a certain part of that relationship. I mean, a certain element in the relationship that wasn't correct, wasn't in reality, you see, and to direct them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To direct them to HaKadosh. That's why he answered him that way. That's why I said, and you just say, the man will solve the problem, so now you'll see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of you. You see? But that's true. If you look at the order of the thing, there's an order here. First there was Mara. What was Mara? Because in Mara, the waters were bitter. So, and it says over there, Shom Som Lachoku Mishpat Vashom Nisahu means the mitzvahs were given to Mara. And then it ends off with Kianir Hashem Rafecha. You see, what was the whole purpose? The purpose was to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one, he is the Malamed. That's why mitzvahs Mamara. Everything was to bring the people to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to deflect them from Moshe Rabbeinu. You see, insofar as it wasn't logical. So in Mara, the whole idea in Mara was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Malamed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Rofe. Ki Ani Hashem Rofecha. So that was really the whole objective of Mara. Then Hindi Mamtu Lachem Lachem and Hashemayim was to demonstrate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Zon. He's the one that's Zon Klal Yisrael. And that's in giving them the Mon was the rebuke. Lo Aleinu Slonoseichem Ki'al Ad Hashem was, and redirect your energies, you're making a mistake here. You have to overcome this infantile emotion, you see. And that's why the next problem was, what was the next problem? Problem was, Ayeshad Hashem B'Kibbeinu Amayim, you see. That was in Midbar Sin. They mind whatever Moshe Yom if you want to mind Vinishta. Then he says, And the kach is itcha mizik misal matcha shekis baser kach yedcha velachta, and then veikach Hashem akom masal meriva al yud bnei tzol al nasosam esav Hashem lemo hayesh ad Hashem bekebeinu amayim. It was always the problem of turning to Moshe Rabbeinu instead of turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was the underlying greatest difficulty in Moshe Rabbeinu's leadership to accomplish that. To remove them from their emotional dependency on Moshe Rabbeinu, and to turn them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why the idea is fully expressed by Matan Kar and Sinai, because when I said Va'ata Dabar Eleinu, so they didn't want to hear the Dvar Hashem the Piyag Vura. So Va'ata Dabar, so Chazal say Va'at Toshash Kocha Kinekevel. Why? Because he said, "No, I wanted you to learn the Piyag Vura, but you weren't on the level." So his whole objective—that was the whole objective of Moshe Rabbeinu's whole life—was to take them away from him towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was a very delicate operation, very difficult, and required great chokhmah and sensitivity and understanding and knowledge to be able to do it. And that was his biggest trial. That was his greatest thing. You see, he said himself that was the most difficult thing. That was the most difficult thing. To deal with that aspect of leading the Am. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu didn't set up the system of Yisrael. Because he assumed that it wouldn't be good. That if he sets up a system over here, then he's too far removed, and their dependency on him will not allow for that. But Yisrael was right on that time. Yisrael said, "No, it can't be." And he said, "You have to be save a hamlech begvura." And it turned out that on that one, Moshe Rabbeinu was wrong. On that one, he was wrong. He assumed that the dependency on him would be expressed in a way that if he set up a system, that he would be too far removed. It would be impersonal. And therefore, the whole arm will collapse emotionally. But Yisroel showed him somehow that no, the possibility that they can accept this is there, and you have to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can't know. You have to find it's sifcha lekim v'yachol tamar. Hagamas kol amazel makom yavo v'shol. So that was the idea. That was what was going on beneath the scene, behind the scenes. In the whole question of Yisrael, that underlying theme is a theme that started with in Bishalach, and it went through Kolat. It goes through Kolat Arkula. What was the difficulty about the Meraglim? That was one of the difficulties. The Meshman says it. Alei Reish, go ahead, go up now. Now go. We're here. Now go. But to go is to be able to go on your own and to fight a battle. They couldn't do it. So they were, that's where the Ramban, there were the fears. Why were they punished for fear? Fear is a natural thing. So why are they punished for that fear? These are powerful nations. So why were they nenash for that? But the answer is because that was the whole objective of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The fear was because they didn't have any confidence in themselves because they were too tied to Moshe Rabbeinu. And instead of removing themselves from somebody else and directing themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and finding their own strength, Alei Reish, they didn't succeed. So it wasn't that they were afraid and they were nenash for that moment of fear. They were nenash for not developing their personalities, not developing themselves over the years and following the lima of Moshe Rabbeinu when he always said, that was a rebuke. You have to straighten out your inner world over here. There's something wrong with your inner world. And they didn't take heed. That's why they were nenash. You see, in the events, many times they were nenash. Like over here in the country, Shem Yilachem Lachem. You see, they had the need by a Malik, unreasonable need to see the Shliach Tzibor Moshe Ben Amr with Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu supplied them with that need. And you see even Masa Meriva. So Masa Meriva, fine, but they survived Masa. It wasn't a terrible catastrophe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was wrong, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu supplied them with their needs and Salech HaMachal, and that's it. But when it came to the Meraglim, that fear, it was different. There was a different, then they were really nanash and they lost that completely. I mean, they survived, of course. But that was a different intervention, slicha, mechila, kapah, whole different thing, whole different system with nanash and abon shana and the whole, they felt it. Why? Because all these things that occurred along the way were really in order for them to change and to overcome their unreasonable demand on the figure of Moshe Rabbeinu, and they weren't able to do it, so they were nanash. But that theme really runs through Kol HaTorah. Okay, yes. It could be. What Jeff is saying is very good. It could be that we don't have too much of the dialogue there, but it's a very good idea that part of Yisrael's chachma was that he shouldn't cater to it. When it comes to Mesir of Torah, he shouldn't cater to that desire. Shouldn't cater. That would be wrong. This is an area of Torah, and over here, you have to set up the system, and they have to learn to accept the system and live with the system, because otherwise, in Torah itself, you can't have that weakness expressed. Very good. That's great. Novel Tibor. Yeah. That's right. Why would it be such an imminent downfall? That's great. That's right. That's good. Very good.
The thing from what we did last week. Danny Wolf brought a very good raya. Danny Wolf brought a very good raya for the yisod that I was mentioning last week that I brought from a raya from Yisrael. From we're not Bible readers. We don't take Pshuto Kamashmo. So my raya was from Vayamar Moshe. And a book out of Arv, and the Gemara says, "V'chiyef shalom akein, tarasa matelo." So the Gemara interprets, "No, he didn't stand all day." So you see that we don't interpret literally. Our derech and Torah is that we have a system of Torah Shabbal Peh, and a system of ideas, and we don't back off from those ideas. And if we see a pasuk that seems to go against that, we realize we have to interpret the pasuk differently. Okay? So, the Daniel Wolf brought a good raya from the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, a famous Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Voya kasher yarm, daf chav tes v'malav. Voya kasher yarm, Moshe yodov v'gavar Yisrael, and v'chasher yaniach, yodov v'gavar Amalek. So, the pshuto shel mikra is, if you learn plain shot in the pasuk, it means that Moshe Rabbeinu raised his hands, so the Jews were victorious, and lowered his hands, so then they started to fail. So that's Pshuto Shel Mikra. But you see, the Mishnah says, "V'chi yodav Shel Moshe osos mochama, oshavos mochama." Is it possible to say that by raising his hands they were victorious, and lowered his hands and then they weren't? He says, "Alalom malach, kol zman shei Yisrael mestaklin klapei mala." So, when he raised his hands, so he caused Klal Yisrael to be mistako klapei mala, and to be mishabe libon lavim shebashamayim. And that's what it means. But it can't mean literally, because that's impossible. And Kiyotze Beloved Mishnah says, Ata Omer, Asei Lecho Asor, Fasim Oso Al Nes. V'hoya Kol Anoshuch, V'ro Oso V'choy. So, Pshuto Shemikra is, when they looked at the Nachosh, they were cured. They were cured, the Nachash Nachoshes. So anyone that reads the Apostle say, it's, look, Moshe Rabbeinu, Tzivri Hashem, Asei Lecho Asor. So that's the way it works. And you look at it, you're cured. The Gemara says, V'chi nachash meimis al nachash mechaya. That's impossible. Ela bezman sheyesho mesnakun klape malo meshabdin libon bavim shebashamayim hayim mesrapim. So when they thought into the idea of the Sorof and Lashon Hara and the Choz B'tshuva, so then they were mesrapim. V'n lav hayin limukim. They kept getting sicker. So you see from the Mishnah, the Yisod that we were discussing. Namely, and that Yisod is that certain things, we know that certain things are impossible from our Masorah. And once we know they're impossible, even though we find a pasuk that seems to oppose it, we know it can't be. In other words, we know things work a certain, we have a certain Yedias Hashem from our system of Torah. And that Yedias Hashem stands by us. And we know that Hashem, while we don't, we know that we don't understand Hashem, at the same time, we know that certain things just can't be. So Ram's idea of the fact that we don't understand Hashem is not simply, like I said, listen, not that we don't understand. We know enough Yedias Hashem to know that it's impossible to understand and the idea is absurd. And that's, while that's true on the one hand, so we don't know Mishpat Hashem, Mishpatecha Tehom Rabbah, but at the same time, we don't have no knowledge, we don't have zero knowledge, we know certain things, and we know certain things about the Derech Hashem, and we know that certain things just can't be. In other words, it cannot be in the Torah that looking up at a snake made out of copper, that this is going to cure you. God doesn't work that way. That's impossible. So that's really the Mishnah. So you see from the Mishnah, that's what Danny Wolf mentioned. It's a beautiful raya. You see from the Mishnah that when we approach Torah, we come armed with a system of ideas of Torah Shebal Peh, and we know that certain things can be, certain things just can't be. So if it can't be, you see the pasuk says it is. So you have to interpret the pasuk differently. That's our derech of Torah Shebal Peh. That's what our yesod is. That's really the pasuk. Al pi advarim ha'ela karati et bris ves Yisrael. Pi advarim ha'ela chazal say Torah Shebal Peh. Because the Torah Shebal Peh is the yikra. And when we see Torah Shebichsav, so we have to interpret the Torah Shebichsav. We don't abandon it, we interpret it. But how do we gear ourselves? That's the important thing, is how a person gears himself. What's a kasha, what's a teretz? I mean, you have to have a system. So what's a question and what's an answer is based on the yesodos that we have in Torah Shebal Peh. And that's a lot of times you find mistakes in today's world, where they take a chazal and they interpret a pshuta kamashmo and they go with it. But they forget that there's yesodi ados, and we don't throw away Yisodi Ados because of a pshuto kamashmol of a chazal. It's a kash on a chazal. You have to interpret the chazal. You have to understand the chazal. Chazal are very deep. But you have to have your bearings. In approaching Yahadus, you have to have your bearings and you have to know where you start from and what you can't forego. And once you have the proper knowledge, then you're ready to approach chazal. Then you're ready to approach a pasuk. But if you don't have the proper ideas, you're incapable of doing so. Okay, that's the mission. That's the mission in Russia. Yes.
We want to follow up for the Rebbe.
Yes, okay.
Where's the pasuk?
What's that? Where's the pasuk? Apiyat Varmela is the pasuk in... Apiyat Varmela is the pasuk in... Zen Mishpatim or in Kisisa? It's... It's in the Kisisa, right? This we found. It's the end of Kisiso, Shvi in Kisiso. Vayom Hashem Moshe, Ksov Lachos Advar Ma'ela, Ki Al Pi Advar Ma'ela, Karati Yitzcha Bris Ves Yisrael. Al Pi Advar Ma'ela means Teresh Abalpe. There's a few Maimari Chazal on that. Yeah. Yeah, the Gemara says, Yishalmi says that there's a Yishalmi, there's a Bavli. Bavli says, Amrei Bechon, Torah Ruba Balpel, Miyuto Beksav, Shnemar Kelpi Advar, Karati Yitzchah Bris. Amar Bechon, Lekar Sakash Baruch Hu Brisim Yisrael, Elo Al Torah Shebalpe, Shnemar Kelpi Advar Ma'ela Karati Yitzchah Bris. So our system is grounded in Torah Shebalpeh. That's the difference between us and between others that try to use our Torah. Okay, this is the essential difference. Okay. Yeah, it's a Gemara Gittin daf Samach Amud Beis. Okay, Gemara Gittin. Yes. There's no rules, I'm just telling you. There's no rules that you could use. You see, you have to have your bearings. That's the important thing. And there are no rules that you could use that will remove a person from the fundamentals of Torah Shebal Peh and the Yesodi Ados. Nothing. So, like, the Gemara says in Yevamos, there's an exception. But even if we would find a mikra that we couldn't explain, I mean, the Gemara Vayikasher Yarm, the Gemara apparently doesn't consider that mikra Yesh Nei Pshuto. That Vayikasher Yarm Yadav. It's not mostly the mikra Nei Pshuto, because what Torah is telling you is true. Torah is just telling you the external event. So it's not being mostly the mikra Nei Pshuto. But even Lu Yetzur, you would find a mikra that you would say, I can't understand this mikra unless I'm motziom de pshuto, and it went against the yesod of Torah Shebal Peh, we would not explain the mikra kapshuto. There's no question about it. What? By Yisro's Gem Shad, in the Pasuk. By Yamar Amar Moshe, Mena Bokat Arav. The Gemara says, V'chiev Shalom Akein. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to spend his whole day from Bokat to Arav. He's not going to learn Torah himself. Impossible. So the Gemara says, nope. What it means is, and a bokar orav means vayerv. It's a cross reference to vayerv vayvokar. And what's the cross reference? That it means a bokar orav, that he partakes of boker and orav of maisa bereshis. He's a shutta from maisa bereshis because he's a dan din emes lamito. Okay. Yeah, what does it mean? He's a shutta from maisa bereshis. I mean, how could a person be a shutta for a kadosh baruch hu? I mean, that itself requires an explanation. I mean, you can't be a shutta for a kadosh baruch hu. The idea is absurd. I mean, what does it mean? It's a shutta for a kadosh baruch hu. We're nivroim, and it's not possible to call a human being a shutta for the borei olam. That's just not possible. So what does that mean? I mean, we might as well explain that. What does it mean? Is a shutuf? Okay, anybody?
Didn't we once say that since Kadosh Baruch Hu's creation was to implement MS in the world, and if you're involved in Mishpachel MS, you are falling in line with the fundamental principle of God's creation.
Okay, what it means like this. What it means is that when God created man. So he created man with a certain capacity to live a certain life, and that was the objective of the creation. So if a person uses Bechira properly, so then his existence is worthwhile. If he doesn't use his Bechira properly, so then he doesn't exist according to the design that God created him for. He's not in line with that design. As such, he doesn't exist in the strict sense. You see, so therefore, if a person exercises Bechira properly and is Kovesh Yitzro, and he lives according to God's design, So then he's a shutuf, so to speak, in Maisa Bracious, because he's actualizing the ideal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the individual for. Do you follow? That, in that sense, that's what it means, shutuf Maisa Bracious. So,
He is the Bria in question.
Now, what Chazal is saying by Moshe Rabbeinu is that the Bria was intended to live al pi mishpat. That was really the intention of the Bria. If man doesn't live according to mishpat, so then he's not existing as man. He fails to, this as on a societal level, as a tzibor. It's not as a yochid, but a tzibor, is an entity. So it's a reality. So that's what it means. Kol adon din emes lamito, even though it's only shor achas, even though Moshe Rabbeinu is shor achas, it's still min aboka ad orav. It means that he actualized the whole vayer vayvoka. Because the intention, the design for man was, an essential design for man is to live according to mishpat, according to justice. And if man doesn't live according to justice, then his existence is worthless. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not have created him. That's the model basically. But the whole essence of man's existence is mishpat. So because in everything that man does, he can avail mishpat mishatzasim l'tnayim. In everything that man does, there's always an inner reality that he seeks to satisfy. And Mishpat, he can't do that. And Mishpat, he has to recognize that he's a Nivra and his Chaver is a Nivra. And there's an objective system of justice that pertains to everybody. And his own subjectivity cannot corrupt that. That's the difficulty in Mishpat. Because man by nature is subjective. He wants things to go according to his instinctual desires. And Mishpat means he has to say no. There's an objective reality that God created, and I am equal to him, and I must subordinate my own subjective desires for a reality that God created of mishpat for all b'nei Adam. So that's why the tziyam b'mishpat tipada. Without mishpat, there's only subjectivity, and subjectivity is instinctual. So a person can do mitzvahs, but he does it because he wants an edge. He has his own agenda, his own personal agenda. Mishpat demolishes man's personal agenda and places him on an objective scale of reality under God's system. That's why mishpat is essential. Without mishpat, there's nothing. Without mishpat, there's zero. That's vela mishpat mashatasim l'tnayim.
In the Chazalo, it's reflecting on the dayan. So it's called a dayan.
That's right. So any dayan, because that's the role of a dayan, is to implement justice. So when a dayan implements justice, he's implementing mishpat elokim ba'aretz, and he's making the whole existence a reality. He's actualizing and realizing the whole existence of the creation. That's what Chazal means, a shutuf ma'aser. It doesn't mean shutuf literally. It means a shutuf because he brings about the objective of the creation. In that sense, he's a shutuf. You have to understand the sense. A person can't be a shutuf for the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's nonsensical. Yes.
And there is another plain shot kind of meaning in the pasuk, because there was an implication that he took too long to do it, because that's the whole story of Yisro.
Yes.
Moshe was too involved in the actual judging.
That's correct.
So there's an implication in the pasuk that's along the lines of plain shot also, that in the book of Adam means it was longer than Shemitah.
Oh, wow.
The implication of the Minabok Hadar, that's longer than it should have been.
So you mean to say that what? That's correct, Joe. I mean, it is much of the somewhat.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is somewhat much of the Shuta. It is, yeah. That's correct. I mean, in any extent, the extent of the Shuta, you can't just use. You have to know what it means, in any extent of the Yasin of Shuta. What is considered Yasin of Shuta was not Yasin of Shuta. That's a whole science in itself. But I'm just telling you. Apparently, Chazal, that's not called Mikyas Mipshuta, because it's in line with the idea of Vayer Vayvoka. Vayer Vayvoka. I mean, a Boker to Arif means he created the phenomenon of Boker to Arif. That's what it means. So it's as if, he was involved in creating the phenomenon of the Minabokar Arif. Yes.
No,
that's wrong. The Chazal said it. It's a mistake. It doesn't make any sense. Why goes to go away? I don't know it. It's a misquote. The Gemara doesn't say that. Yeah. But it's good you noticed it. Yeah.
Aren't there cases with Talmi and Megillah where the pshat is not the way it is? That's why the Shivan Zakanim changed it?
Yeah, that was me for the Gaim.
Yeah, but I mean, like 430 years of Mitzrayim, and then they added Shah Arata.
There are a few places they changed it.
Yeah, like some places.
Yeah, the reason why they changed it is because Ptolemy didn't want to accept Torah Sheba'al Peh. That's why they fasted, Tanaisim, when they made the Septuagint. Because Ptolemy didn't want to accept, he wanted the Bible. He'll figure out himself. Give us the information, and we'll figure out what God's word is from the Bible. So they wanted access to it, and they wanted to learn their own pshat there. So Chazal, that's why it was a terrible time, because that's connected to Torah Kula. So Chazal, they were stuck, and they couldn't do anything about it. So what they did was, certain psukim they didn't translate, because the plain implication from the mikra would definitely lead them astray. So they had to do that. That was really because of the fact to in other words, in order to remove the problem of the fact that they didn't want to accept Torah Sheba'al Peh, so they had no choice, but they had to take the mikra and change it, because there was no other choice. You have no other choice, I mean, okay, because they don't believe in Torah Sheba'al Peh.
What would have happened if Talmud couldn't figure it out? What would have
topic, and continue from what we said last week, I found an interesting and very difficult Ramban. Okay, because on that parsha, it says, "Mochar anochi nisal rosha giva matel kim biyadi." So then, Vayas Yeshua Kashem al Moshe lelocham by Malek, and the end of the Shalach. Moshe Aram v'chor all of Rosh Hagiva. Voya Kashem Yor Moshe Yedav v'gavar Yisrael v'chashem Yaniach Yedav v'gavar al Malek. Okay. So then it's Tamchu v'yadav mizeachod. Vayhi Yadav emuno ad bo Hashemesh. So the Mishnah I quoted to you, but the Mishnah is a little difficult because the Mishnah just says they were mistaken klape mala. So the Torah Tmima mentions the question. And he says like this. He says the Mechilta is better. Because he says, well, if he pshuta, he says, Einu mevul if he's a loma tala matzav ha-melchama ba-romas va-nachas yad Moshe. So it's in the stop. All the Mishnah was Mestakman Klape Marwa. So what's got to do with his hands going up and down? It's a good, very good question. Yes. So then he says, Omnom imam mevor b'mechilta yizbaru kan advarim. He says, the Mechilta explains a little better. Because it says, Kolz man she yemoshe magbiya yodo ho yisrael Mestaklin bo u'ma'aminim b'mi shetziva l'moshe lasaskein. So the Mechilta says that when he raised his hands, so they believed in he who was mitzava Moshe Rabbeinu to do this. I mean, the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Va'avur zeh also lam HaKadosh Baruch Hu nisim ugvuros. Ad kan. Okay. U'lefi zeh mevur, desibas rikshe libam shel Yisrael, gufo hoiso haramosav anochas yad Moshe. Okay, so he says, the Gemara chaserim elu hamilim ha-masifim biur. He says, it's not a machlekes the mechilt on the Mishnah. But the Mishnah just speaks in general terms, but the Mishnah means what the Mechilta means. Okay? Oh, she'al loshim mistaklin klapim ma'il eina koyal al bashamayim ala b'moshe. Fa'akavonu she'u mistaklin ba'romas Moshe es yodov. Hayu hei mishabdim al yideze es libam lavim shebashamayim. Well, if he's a kavon achasi b'gemar b'mechilta. Okay. So he says it really is the same. The Mechilta's not arguing the Gemara, it's the same shot. So they'll mistakl Moshe Rabbeinu And they were mamin b'mishet tziva l'moshe. That's basically the Mishnah and the Mechilta. I mean, that's how you have to interpret. But Ramban is very strange. Strange Ramban. Ramban says like this. Now this is a question. It says, "Vatam shetziva Moshe Yoshua lelochem b'Amalek." Why did Moshe Rabbeinu tell Yeshua to do Mochama? Bavur she yispalal hu benesiyas kapayim al Rosh HaGiva. Because he wanted to go up to the Rosh HaGiva and be mispalal with his hands outstretched. And he says, Va'ola sham, and he went up there, kidei sheyira es Yisrael hanelchamim, in order that he should see the Jews that were doing battle. He says, V'yosim eino aleihem letova. He should put his eye on them, letova, for good. What does that mean? The eino of Shel Moshe can't be yosim Mocham either. So what does it mean? No, what it means is, what the Ramban means over here is, that when a person is mispalel for somebody, so they have to immerse themselves in the inyan of the person. And not just mispalel for somebody. But you have to really, if you want to be mispalel properly, so you have to immerse yourself in the situation of the one you mispalel for. Because tefillah really demands, the word tefillah means, it comes from pilel, which means machshava and thought. So a person's a chola, all right, you just mispalef him. I mean, it's nice. But that's not the same kind of a tefillah as if you immerse yourself in the thought about the chola and his condition and his person, and you think about him, and then you mispalef tefillah based on chokhmah and machshava, and then that's a real tefillah. That's a real tefillah. So a tefillah isn't just enough to have the abstract ideas of tefillah. But in tefillah is a whole parsha in itself. And the parsha involves a subject, an individual that you're being mispalel for. And if you just take it lightly, and you just put his name in the middle of your tefillah, all right, I'm not saying it's wrong, but that's not a real tefillah. Tefillah is machshava, pilel. The Nasan Beflilim. So you have to really think into the situation of the Chola, the person of the Chola, his condition, his personality, and his Tsar, and formulate a proper tefillah for that individual. Okay? So that's what Rambam means. He says, Kedei sheyiras Yisrael anelchamim. He should see the Jews in battle and realize their situation. V'yosim eino aleihem letovo. And he should think about them. Of course, Ramban can't go into Moshe Rabbeinu's mind, but he just tells you briefly, and he should think about them, letova. This is their situation, and they should be matzliach, and they deserve atzlocha, and all the ramifications of what went into his tefillah, which we don't know, but the Ramban is just alluding to in one phrase. And the yosem eino alem letova. But that's really a concept that's not just time Moshe Rabbeinu, it's for everybody today as well. I mean, very practical idea in tefillah. It shouldn't be perfunctory. That part of Ramban I understand. But then he adds, he says, V'gam heim yiru oso pores kapov hashamayma. They should see him being pores kapov to the shamayim. Umar be betfilah, they should see him in that position and in that activity of tefillah. He says, and then he adds two words, they're very, very difficult. He says, V'yiftechuvo, V'yosifu ometz gvura. Is against the Chazal? What are Yiftechuvo in Moshe Rabbeinu? I mean, Baruch HaGev HaShiftach Bar Hashem? Or a giver she yiftach ba'adam, the son bosses ro'o, me'el Hashem yasa libor, paskim yoses. So what is Ramban saying here? Strange Ramban. The Mechilta, and the Mishnah doesn't even mention Moshe Rabbeinu. Mishnah just says Nosim Libom Lashamayim. And the Mechilta says that when they saw Moshe Rabbeinu, so they realized the one Mishatzivabo. That's certain things bring to mind the Creator. That's why I mentioned Dave Marcus once. That's why we bow down by a Sefer Torah. Why? Why do you bow down by a Sefer Torah? The answer is because when you see the Sefer Torah, now you don't bow down to Sefer Torah. When you see the Sefer Torah, then you realize Mishatzivabo. It's Mishatzivabo. But the Sefer Torah brings to mind Mishatzivabo. So that's what the Mechilta was saying, really. But the Ramban is very strange. And Ramban says that they should see him, the Yiftachu Vo, V'yosifu Ometz Ugvura. Strange thing. And then he goes on, he says, Ubepirke Rebbe Eliezer Od. He says, Pirke Eliezer adds more. Kol Yisrael Yotzu Chutz Li'olayim, V'ro'es Moshe Korei Al Birkov. The Haim Karmal became. No fell pun of Atzah. The Haim no flum up name Atzah. Pires is Yodav Lashamayim. The Haim parsim is Yodam Lashamayim. Kishem Sheshaliach Tzibor Mispalo. Kach Kolom Onim Acharov. Okay, that's why I say it's a Kiyom. We stand during Chazar Sashatz. But apparently from this Pirkei Rabbeinu Elazar, it seems that those people that are machmer and keep their feet together like the Shliach Tzibor, that there is a kiyum like that. Because, you see, it says that everything Moshe Rabbeinu did, that the Tzibor did. But what is Ramban saying that he says, Pirkei Rabbeinu Elazar Od? I mean, it's a completely different idea. Completely different idea. Over there, Pirkei Rabbeinu Elazar is saying that they were Meshabei Libam Lavim Shabashamayim. Not that they were Boteach and Moshe, and that's why they were Mosef Ometz Gvura. You see. Very difficult Ramban. Okay. Anybody, any suggestions? Yeah. I think the only way you can explain the Ramban is based on what we deduced from the other Ramban last week. Okay. From the other Ramban we deduced, if you remember, that the Ramban says, because the question is, when they saw Mitzrayim in the beginning of Beshalach, when they saw Mitzrayim Naseach Harayim, so it says they were very frightened, by Yirmov, it's Kmei Solot Hashem. And so, V'yomah Moshe Mibliyeng Farm Mitzrayim V'kachton Lomas Bamidbar, Mazos Asis Lom Lotzenam Mitzrayim. So we asked the question, that's not the place to go back into history and start recounting the arguments that they had about why they're there. I mean, Mitzrayim was Noseach Aram. They were in imminent danger of destruction by a powerful army. So what's the purpose of talking about, when we were Mitzrayim, we told you not to come out here. I mean, it's too late now, that's it. I mean, what are we doing now? That's the question. It's a very impractical kind of a conversation. But we said that from that Ramban you see, and he quotes a Chazal there, the Se'or Shebe'isa, that was part of their problem, that they weren't realistic because they were avodim and they weren't on the level of reality, into reality. And therefore, they complained. They complained like a child complains to a parent many times just to vent their frustration. It wasn't really al pisechel. And that's why Chazal say it was Sor Shebe'isa, that they found tainus against Moshe Rabbeinu. That wasn't the place and it wasn't the time for tainus. But when a person is on a level below the real level of Chachma, so he does many things, says many things that are immaterial, and even though they may have a complaint, but it's stupid because it's not the place. I mean, in people in their personal lives, oftentimes you'll see that when they give a presentation, so they speak intelligently. But when they're at home, they say things that don't make any sense. What are you complaining about? It's irrelevant. But man has the Se'or Shebe'isa, which is, he's stuck, like Chazal say, that man by nature has a very difficult time because the instinctual has a head start from early youth. Yetzar is a head start until Bar Mitzvah. So the person is rooted in infantile ways of thinking about things. And he can't uproot it, even though the seichel tells him it's stupid, but he falls back into these grooves. So Klal Yisrael at that time really fell back into that groove of complaining, not a complaint. It was your fault. It was your fault. You shouldn't have taken us out of here. So what is he going to do now? That's venting their anger in an irrational way. So from this we said you can deduce that they weren't at that time on a very high level. And they needed Moshe Rabbeinu as a father figure to help them, to assist them. And we quoted the pasuk, "Anochi Arisei Samazem, Anochi Lidatiyu, Kisama Alay Sareyu B'chakecha Kashayisa Omen Esayonek," because that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want that job. But he had to do it because that was the state of Klal Yisrael, like the Ibn Ezra says, they were avodim. And they needed him. That's why by the Egel, he said, "Ish Moshe Shalom Yitzrayim Le'edanam Ho'yelo." So there was a need for him. I think that's what that's the answer to the Ramban. That the Ramban is saying, in his interpretation, he's not denying the Chazal, but he's saying in his interpretation, what he's saying is the plain Pshuto Shel Mikra is that Moshe Rabbeinu realized this, and he realized that they needed the security of seeing him being Omeid B'Tfilah. They needed that. Should they have needed that? No. Because really, they should have been Meshabdim Libam Lavim Shabbat Shemayim. You see. But even the Mechilta expresses itself in a strange way, if you remember, when we quoted the Mechilta. Because the Mechilta says that when they saw that Yodav Prusos HaShemayim, so they thought of Misha Tziva. Also, you see. So they needed to see him in order to remind them of the Borei Olam. He was a vehicle. That's what I think the Ramban means. That's what I mean. That's what the Ramban means. Ramban means that Moshe Rabbeinu knew that was his role. They're not ready for Melchama. And you see, Melchama Samalik, they weren't ready for. They weren't ready for it. So when was the real challenge that I mentioned last week? The real challenge was Alu or Shuas Aras by the Meraglim. By then they should have gotten rid of their problem, you see. And they Alu, but they couldn't do it. Couldn't go up on their own. So the Ramban is saying that it's an interesting Ramban, but you see the Ramban picks up from where he left off. The Ramban from last week is an amazing... An amazing consistency in the Ramban, that even though he didn't express it openly, but it's clearly deducible from the Ramban that they were on an infantile level, and that's what the Ramban is saying, really. Not that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted them to have bitachon in him, that's chas v'shalom, that's also. But what he yiftachu bo means he knew they had a certain security. And they needed him in order to be Meshabe Libam Lavim Shabbat Shemayim. And when they saw him Omeid in Tefillah, they got courageous. A plain shot in the Ramban, he says, a plain shot to Shemekra is, when they saw him Omeid in Tefillah, it gave them courage. Gave them courage. And we have the source of this great tzaddik, so it gave them courage to be successful in battle. Okay. Is that the ultimate state for man to live by? The answer is no. The answer is no. Shema Yisrael, Atam Krev Mayom LaMolchama. All you need, even if you only have the mitzvah of Yichud Hashem, you'll be successful. So, Kir Hashem Alekecham Olech Lefnechem. Al Yerach Levavchem, Kir Hashem Alekecham Olech Lefnechem. So really, Klal Yisrael has to have direct bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But at that time, they weren't ready. And they needed the assistance, the emotional assistance, of seeing Moshe Rabbeinu Omeid B'Tfilah, Lefnei Hashem. When they saw that, then they were able to summon up courage and to do battle and to be victorious. That's Ramban's first initial plain shot. The Ramban always likes to learn first plain, satisfy the plain shot in the Mikra. And then he goes on, he says, that's why what he goes on to say, he adds, we ask, what is he adding? Because he says further, he says, that the in the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar it says that when they saw him, whatever they saw him do, they did also. Nofel aponav heim nofel mapneim. Pares yodav heim parsim yodayim. Okay? So what does he say that the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar added more? But now it's good what he means. What he means is that the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar adds more, not just because he was saying that when they saw him, so they felt good in seeing him, Omei B'tfilah, and that helped them in the battle itself. But he says, but the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar says it did even more for them, that when they saw him, Omei B'tfilah, so they did what he did. That's what the Ramban means. Ramban means on one level, the plain shot and the pasuk, what they did was they were able to have courage when they saw him on the tefillah. They saw the shliach tzibah, Moshe Rabbeinu, so it affected them. And Moshe Rabbeinu knew that. That's why he went up there, because he knew they needed that. But the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar is even more, that he had a greater effect on them. Greater effect that they were only betfilah, that seeing Moshe Rabbeinu caused them even to be only in tefillah themselves. That's what the Ramban means. Okay, just wanted to explain the Ramban. Bring a raya from there. Okay. That's the inyan that we started last week, yeah. Okay. Doesn't mean everybody.
There's certain individuals who were...
That's correct. There's a certain people, not everybody goes to battle. Not everybody can go to battle. You have Nashim, you have people, older people. There's no Pshuto Shel Mikra over here that simply raising his hands did anything. The Targum Onkelos, who is the Pshuto Shel Mikra, says, Vayi yada muna bo shemesh, vahava yadohi prishon bitzlo ad ol shemesh. He was mispal. Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah. And I think what the Ramban is saying is not so strange. I think we say that about people today. I mean, a person knows that he has a tzaddik being mispal for him, it gives him courage. Why does he need a tzaddik? Why doesn't he himself have enough betachon v'Hashem? The answer is, he's not on the level. He's not on the level. So the Ramban is explaining very beautifully the Pshuto Shel Mikra, that when they saw the Moshe Rabbeinu being mispal, and they realized who he was, that they have the schus tefillah of this great tzaddik, the Rabban Shel Kol Yisrael, the Adon HaNaviim, it gave him courage. And then they're able to be successful in battle. That's what the Ramban is saying. That apparently is mutter. It's not, there are many things that even though it's not the highest level, it doesn't mean it's nothing. It's also a level. Not the highest level, but it's also a level. And Moshe Rabbeinu tried to bring Klal Yisrael, Mi'itin Kol Am Hashem Nevi'im. They shouldn't need him. That was his ultimate goal. And it was very sad that he couldn't do that. He couldn't accomplish that goal. But nevertheless, I mean, he knew as a leader what he had to do in those circumstances. And he realized that for those circumstances, this is what is needed. They can't fight a Amalek. They're not ready to fight a Amalek. It's not possible. They just left Mitzrayim. So, Peninochem Amberos Mohama. So he knew the only way to salvage the situation and to have them be successful and have courage is if he's Ola Rosh HaGivah. And then he knew that they'll have the sense of security that they gain from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu is Omei B'tfilah Ba'adam. That's what he knew. That was Moshe Rabbeinu's chachma in knowing precisely the people, the nature of the people. With this, I wanted to add one more thing. I think we could answer a very big kasha. It's a kasha on Rashi. Strange pasuk and strange shuksukim, but there's a very difficult kasha on Rashi, which many remain with a kasha on this. And that is after HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, he gave him the system of V'dibo with Aaron, V'dibo hu l'chol ha'om, V'ayu hu l'chol ha'peh, V'atatil lo le'elohim. So then Moshe Rabbeinu went back to Yisrael, And he asked for shus from Yisrael to leave. He took his wife and his children. And then it says, then that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a last instruction. He told him, "Vamata paro, kama Hashem b'ni b'chor yisrael ma'ar lecha shachos b'ni v'yavdeni v'atman l'shacho, hinei anoch hergis b'nchor b'chorecha." Next pasuk is, "Vayi baderech mamolon, vayif kisheo ad Hashem, vayivakesh hamisa." Strangest, some of the strangest pesukim that all of a sudden. In Shmos Dalet Pasuk of that. So, all of a sudden, things changed. And plain shot is that Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to kill Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean, that's a Rashi learns, Gemara learns, other pshat in the Gemara, but the plain shot if he wanted to kill him. So, Vatikach Tzipora Tzor, Vatikros Es Orlas Bino. So, Tzipora took a rock and she cut off the Orla, Vatagal Araglov. Vatomar Ki Chasan Domim Atoli. She said to the child, "You're a Chasan Domim." So Rashi said, what does that mean? It's Vatagal Araglov, Ishlichoso, Lefne Raglov, Shamosha, Vatoma al Beno. She said about her son, Ki Chasan Domim Atoli, Ato Yiso Gorem, Lios Achosin Shali Nirzach Olecho. Horeg Ishi Atoli. She said to her son, you're killing my husband. So the Rashi explains before. Rashi says that what happened over there, he says that the famous Gemara that Moshe Rabbeinu was Nisrashel in the Mila of Eliezer, because he got the tzivui at the time that his son was born, and all things Shlosh Yom, whatever, all the rest of the Gemara. So he says, so then Rabbi says, Chas Shalom lo Nisrashel. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't Nisrashel, but he was Osei Tchila in setting up the lodging, and because it was also Trila in the lodging in the Molon, so that's why he was Chayav Miso. So Rashi says a strange thing. He says, "V'hoya Malach Nasa Kimin Nachash, Ubolo Meirosho V'yad Yerechov, V'chozer Ubolo Meiraglo V'ad Oso Makom." So the Malach swallowed him up from the top to the Milo and from his legs to the Milo. And Hevina Tzipora, so Tzipora understood because of the way the Malach was swallowing him up, that Shebishvil Amilahu, because how did she know to take to cut off the Arla and to say at that time? How did she know that? So Rashi explains because of what the Malach was doing to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Malach, the way she saw the Malach, indicated that it was because of the Milah. So that's what Rashi says. Hevina Tzipora Shebishvil Amilahu. So she understood that, and that's why she did the next thing, that she cut off the Milah. Okay. Vayirf mimenu, v'tama ki yichasan damadli, v'tama yishlichos lefnei rav shemosho, v'tama benoa ki yichasan damadli, ato yisa garam li yasa chosu shli nitzach alecha horegi shiatali. Okay. So she understood Bishvil Amilah. Then the next Rashi says, vayirf mimenu, hamalach mimenu, oz hevina she'al hamila bolo horgo. Because of the Milah, the Malach came to kill him. So Rashi over here is saying that when did she understand because of the Milah? When it says, Vayirf Mimenu. Right? Ozomra. Chasan Domim. Vayirf Mimenu. Ozomra Chasan Domim Lamulos. So the question they ask is, Rashi just said before, that from the way the Malach swallowed him, she knew it was Bishvil Amila. And then Rashi says again, Vayirf Mimenu, when the Malach ceased, Oz Hevino She'al Amila Bolaharo. And it's an open stare in Rashi. It's an open stare. And it's just repetitious. Then what made her understand? Isn't the question, how did she know to do Mila altogether? So the answer was because of the Malach. So that's why she did it. But then it says Vayirf Mimenu, that when the Malach ceased, so then she knew. Ozomra, Chasan Damil, Lamalos. So then she knew that it was because of the Mila. I mean, didn't she know before? Very difficult Rashi. Very difficult Rashi. But I think based on what we're saying, I think we can answer this this stira. The stira is See, the stira is that it's the exact, what caused her to have the knowledge? Was it the way the malach swallowed up Moshe Rabbeinu, or was it because of the fact that the malach stopped? Okay, which was it? It seems like a contradiction. Yeah. Rashi almost, some want to say that Rashi, they want to make a limbo, that's in parentheses, that Shina Rashi Bolshono, because he says, before he says, you were goreim, that my husband should die. And now it doesn't say goreim. I mean, it's a very hard answer, because there's very little difference in Rashi's language. But if you look further, there is one difference. Later it says, "Amra oz amra chasan domim lamulos." So she says, "Chosni hayanirtzach al dvar hamila," that my chasan, my husband, would have been killed because of the dvar hamila. And then Rashi says again, "Chasan domim lamulos." So Rashi says, "Al dvar hamulos, al dvar hamulos." Okay, that's the only clue you have here. The only addition that Rashi makes is that not when he says that Ozevina Shalamila Balahargo, because that's almost the same as before, Shabishvila Milo. But in the end of the Pasuk, when you have the words Chasan Domim Lamulos, Rashi is Chosni Hayinitzach al Devar Hamilo. Okay? And Lamulos is Aldevar Hamulos. What is Rashi adding? And that's the only addition you have there. And the answer has to lie in those words. You see it? Do you see the Rashi?
The same thing. He says
Aldevar Hamulos. No, Amra. No, in other words, in the
Bishvil Hamulos.
The first one, the Malach, is Bishvil Hamulos.
Oh,
second time around, when he says Vayiref, he says She'al Hamila Balaharo. Those two are practically the same. But in that same pasuk, where it says "Vayirif Hamalach Menu Ozavin Shalamila Balahargo," the end of the pasuk is "Chasan Damal Lamulos Oz Amra Chasan Damal Lamulos," and there Rashi is. He says "Amra Chasan Damal Lamulos Chosne Yitzchak Al Devar Hamil Lamulos Al Devar Hamulos." Okay, what is Rashi? The answer has to lie in those words. What do those words really teach us? So I think the answer is like this. The answer is that there's a difference between the mitzvah of milah and the dvar hamilah. See, in every mitzvah you have the maisa mitzvah, but every mitzvah is an extensive limud. And it's a limud in Torah Shebal Peh and Asiyas HaMitzvah, but it's also a great limud in Tamei HaMitzvah and Shirashi HaMitzvah and ideas of the mitzvah. So what Rashi is saying is the difference between before and after was that at first she thought that it was because he was Nisrashil in the Maisa HaMitzvah of Milah. Okay, so she did the mitzvah because she's chayav to do the mitzvah. But at that point, she thought that he's gone because she can't help him. Because she's chayav to do it, but chasan domamatali. Because he was being nenash because he failed to do it. So what does it help that she does it? Doesn't help anything. So that's why at that point she thought that it was all over. But then vayiref mimeno, once the malach stopped, so she realized that this whole thing, that this whole thing is not because he failed in terms of executing the Maisa Mitzvah of Milah, but it's because he needed to gain and to think into certain ideas, the Dvar HaMilah, certain ideas of the Milah. So therefore, even though he didn't do it, but she did it for him, but nevertheless, he was able to gain the insight that he needed from the mitzvahs milah, and that was the purpose of the whole thing. It wasn't because he didn't do the maisa mitzvah. He didn't do the maisa mitzvah, she couldn't save him. But vayiref mimeno. So then she realized that the whole reason is because he failed to think into the dvar hamila, the ideas of the mila. But what are the ideas of the mila? The ideas of the mila umaltem es olas levavchem. Sheyehei levavchem pasuach leidas emes. And Tirgum Ogla says, v'sadun yas tipshus libchem. So mila means to remove the veil of stupidity that prevents a person from seeing the emes. To remove the veil. And the Ibn Ezra says, letahir es halev. To be mitar the lave to know the truth. So now she understood why was Moshe Rabbeinu Nistava precisely at that time when he had to do milah for Eliezer, because there was something that he had to think into in mitzvahs milah, which was necessary for his mission. And what did he have to think into? What he had to think into was to break certain veils that prevent him from gaining certain knowledge. What kind of knowledge? It wasn't metaphysical knowledge. It was like we mentioned last week. Moshe Rabbeinu had to have knowledge when the pasuk says "Vayitzavim al bnei Yisrael." So he had to have knowledge how to deal with Klal Yisrael. He had to have knowledge how to deal with Paro, give him covet, proper covet, not just walk in and say he's doing nisim and v'neflos. But he had to try to reach him because he had Bechira. And he had to know, when he said to Paro, L'mosayati lecha, so Ibn Ezra says that was on his own. So he had to know Das Elyon, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will answer him. So he had to have a lot of Das, a lot of Yediya. But essentially, what did he have to do? He had to force himself to go into a different area of knowledge, an area of knowledge that he wasn't used to. That was an area of knowledge of Bnei Ha'adam, How do you deal with Klal Yisrael? How do you deal with them in their weaknesses, in their failures? How do you deal with Paro? How do you deal with a person that's, in his own eyes, is a god? So this also is knowledge, and this requires the removal of the veil, of ignorance. And even Moshe Rabbeinu had to ponder the matter with his chokhmah to know what to do. And that's what you see by Milchemes Amalek, how he knew that Klal Yisrael can't make it. He knew their relationship and their dependency on him at that time. And he had to think and have his great knowledge that was great enough so that he'd know that this is the way to remedy the situation. That they see him omed betfilah lifnei Hashem. And that's why vayiref mimenu, so she saw that it was on the devar hamila. The devar hamila is the ideas of the concepts of the mitzvah. So that's why the malach removed himself, because it wasn't an onish for not doing the maisa mitzvah, because that wasn't onish, but it was something that was necessary as a prerequisite for him to be Rabban Shel Yisrael, and that's why, even though Tzipora did it, but he was able to think into the Dvar HaMilah and to prepare himself for leading Klal Yisrael. And that's why it's right after the Tzivoy Hashem, which told him to go on his shlichus. Okay.
Did you say them by the Maragul that he was wrong there? Some of them really weren't right?
it was their chait. Well, he wasn't wrong. I mean, there's such a thing. A leader can lead people to a certain extent. I mean, he could make things easier for them. I mean, and supply their weaknesses to give them a certain level of bechira. But he can't remove their responsibility. That was their bechira. That was their bechira chafshus. You know, At that point, they should. At that point, they were ready. They should have been able to handle it. That was a whole Eitzah there, a whole Eitzah there. He tried to help them out with that Eitzah, with the Eitzah of the Nesiim and the yes. Okay. Yeah. Oh, because he couldn't do it. He couldn't be Omer. Now that's the thing. He's going to Mechazal. Person will be Omer two or more than 3 hours. That's later. No, the reason is simply, Ibn Ezra says, it's Yadu that a person can't hold his hands up more than a certain amount of time. A human being is can't do it physically. Can't do it.
Really?
Yeah.
No,
it couldn't be any mitzvah, because umaltem es olas levavchem means specifically that the veils that prevent us from seeing the emes. I mean, that is the mitzvah of milah. That's why mitzvahs milah is so great. I mean, the mitzvah is to remove the olas alev. I mean, as a matter of fact, I mean, the goyim are called al alev because they never get into the process. So it's a process, but that process has many areas, has many, many subjects. I mean, it's a process in Limud HaTorah, it's a process in Derech HaChayim, it's a process in everything. But Moshe Rabbeinu, after he didn't want the Shlichus, and he wanted to live in the world of Chachmas Hashem, but he didn't want to deal with people, he didn't want to waste his time. So he didn't want that shlichus, and he didn't think that he was fit for the shlichus. So he accepted the shlichus, but he reluctantly accepted the shlichus. So because when a person's reluctant to do something, that creates a veil in that area. His reluctance. He doesn't. He's a person. When a person is excited to go to a sugya, learn a sugya, so he's ready to learn a sugya. If he doesn't want to, he's not going to think of the right ideas. The same thing is true with the shlichus of Moshe Rabbeinu, that he was reluctant about the shlichus. The reluctancy about the shlichus caused him to fail. He needed mitzvahs milah to bring to mind the limud that would cause him to go against his emotions and to penetrate the veil that stood between him and understanding Klal Yisrael and understanding Nihug HaTzibur and understanding how he has to deal with the Paramel HaMitzrayim. That's why it's specifically mitzvah smilah. That is the correct mitzvah for this.
It could have been for anything. In other words, it could have been for any area where he needed it.
Because of his reluctancy, because of to do the shlichus, that's why the mitzvah smilah was given at that time. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the tzivui when Eliezer was born at that moment. Okay? Excuse me? Exactly. That's why it was Chayav Misa. It's Chayav Misa because he was, even though he reluctantly accepted the Shlichus, but if he wouldn't involve himself properly in the Shlichus, so then he's Chayav Misa.
Maybe?
Yes.
According to...
That's correct. That's what she did. The Akos was a Chayav.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct. Because it fell on her now. That's true.
She didn't have any hope of saving his life.
That's right. At that time, she didn't know. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, Rashi says a yisahorig, Yeah, that's correct. There's a marin of war that she saw. I mean, that doesn't mean it's not literally. Okay, that's a good point. That shows you that for a person to be successful in removing the mechitzos between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and between Chachmas Hashem, the important thing is the approach. That's the important thing. Once he had the approach, then he was able to do it. But the turning of the mind towards the thing itself, that's the essence of the thing. And that's true all the time. Once the mind is there, then the person can work things out. The mind isn't there, He can't get it. So that's correct. As soon as he turned his mind to it, he broke down the machitza, then already things were on their way. And that was the purpose of the mitzvah smila at that time. That's why the shlichus was at that time, precisely at that moment. Because that was the Dvar HaMila that was necessary. Yeah. That's what, by the way, that's what Chazal means. The Gedola Mila. Even Moshe Rabbeinu with all the schusim, that they didn't stand by him, and he was almost Nerag. What does it mean? I mean, it means to say, well, what does it mean? I mean, what kind of sense does it make that with all the schusim, he should be Nerag for this? But the Gemara means to say Gedola Mila. It means Mila is a great mitzvah. Because the idea behind it is something that encompasses Kol HaTorah Kula and the whole Derech HaChaim. And that's why even Moshe Rabbeinu, if it were just a Maisa HaMitzvah, so then Moshe Rabbeinu's Chosim would have stood by him. So he didn't do a Maisa HaMitzvah, so what? So he's not going to lose his life, I mean. His Chosim would have stood by him. Plenty of Chosim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shokel, Chosim and Avera, Devonos. So, but if it's something which has a conceptual idea, and that idea is necessary for the person to move on, so then it's not going to help them. Then this chosim won't help, because the idea is something which is absolutely necessary, and if he doesn't have that idea, so he could lose his very existence. That's what the Gemara means. That's the meaning of the Chazal. Okay. Okay, we'll stop here.